Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, ladies. This is your host, Pastor Teresa, and I would like to welcome you to Share Talk as we understand and learn that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Today, we have some exciting information for you today, and we have an exciting and a blessed woman of God with us today. Normally, I have Lady Swenson with us on Mondays, on the first Monday, but today we have Lady April Gant today, and she's going to be with us today. She's going to get ready to introduce herself and lead us in prayer, but I want to share with you that as we always normally do, we have missed two Mondays, and I was trying to recover from this bronchitis. I'm getting better. I'm not 100% yet, but I'm on my way, amen, because we speak healing and atmosphere. But today we have an awesome live 60 minutes of empowerment. So we want you to make sure that you share with your sisters, share with your aunties, mamas, and grandmothers, those women that are married and desire to be married. You want to go ahead and let them know Share Talk is on the line. And we're going to go ahead and go into our segment. Lady Gant, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm excited to be here tonight. How's the lady doing tonight?
I'm pretty sure they're doing wonderful. We have, so many ladies jumped on the call, and we thank God for you guys chiming in and those who want to link in on Facebook and Twitter. But right now we have a lot of ladies that's calling in. But if you can go ahead, Lady Gant, just lead us in prayer, and then once immediately after that, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience, and then we're going to start our segment. Go ahead, Lady Gant.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you this evening, God, and we, God, just lift up each and every woman that is listening at this time, God. We lift up the host right now, God. We lift up this segment right now, God, and we pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would speak clear, God, that you would have your way, God. God, that you would use us mightily to your glory, God, that you would speak, God, and impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in these thy people that are listening, oh God. We pray right now, God, that everyone, God, will receive, God, everything that you have to say to them tonight, oh God. We pray right now, we lift them up, oh God. We lift up these wives, God. We lift up everyone that is listening, God, and we pray right now, God, that you would minister to everyone in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Ladies, we are excited that you're on the line today, and I truly believe your heart is open and your mind is free to hear what thus say the Lord. You're going to receive some nuggets and some information and some tools to put in your toolbox. So as you're going through your challenge, because how many of you know we're going to go through challenges when we marry, and those are desiring to be married or married, got a wedding date that's coming up, you're going to go through a challenge, and I truly believe today is going to help you today. Lady Gant, if you can go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience, and then we're going to go ahead into the segment.
Well, hi, ladies. I'm Lady Gant of Impact Outreach Ministries under the leadership of my pastor, Pastor Michael Gant, my husband, and I'm just excited to be here tonight to share with you all tonight. Our ministry has been around, entering into this fifth year, and I'm just excited to be able to impart into the ladies tonight.
Amen, amen, and we appreciate your stopping by and being with us on tonight. You guys are going to hear more from her because she's going to be soon to be one of our co-hosts for one of our other Mondays. So we're going to give information about that at a later date. But tonight we're talking about Wives Mondays. Today is Wives Mondays, and our subject tonight: are you pulling the best out of your husband? Are you pulling the best out of your husband? And when we're talking about pulling the best out of your husband, and we're going to go have some dialogue, and also we're going to let you know if you desire to ask any questions or make any comments, all you got to do is press number one, and it will give me the indicator that you have a question or you have a comment that you want to chime in on. But tonight, we have some exciting information. So, Lady Gant, are you pulling the best out of your husband? Can you share with the ladies and the women that's on the line tonight, why is important to understand that wives can and able to pull the best out of their husbands?
At this time, I would say that I am in a position, even more now being a first lady, to be able to stand by my husband and be able to pull the best out of him. I've learned over the years of being married over 20 plus years that encouragement is one of the best things that a husband needs at any given time in your marriage and in any position that he may be in. I've also learned that you have to constantly be in the wife, be in prayer for your husband each and every day. It has to be consistent because you're expecting and looking for God to do some mighty and great things in him and through him and by him. And because of that, you want the best for him and the best for us as a whole.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. But why do you think that women, you know, as you look at the summary, that if you're frustrated based on your husband's attitude and actions, things you see in him that's negative? I noticed you've just been in a position, just like you say, been in a position as a lady of the pastor, first lady, pastor's wife, that you got to motivate women all the time when it comes down to their husband. But what I find, Lady Gant, is a lot of wives are so frustrated. They're frustrated with the attitude or the behavior of their husbands, and they're like, oh, God, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. Why he don't get it, why he don't move fast enough, why he don't have good communication skills, all this good stuff there. And so we approach the situation, we approach our husband in more in a, such a criticizing or nagging way, until now the husband don't even receive anything that we say because they receive it as nagging or we criticizing. We know what makes a woman frustrated, but how can a woman get past the attitude and the behavior that they see in their husbands that get on their nerves?
I have learned that I have been in the same position myself, and I think all women is not going to be exempt from that position at any given time during their marriage. And the answer to that I've learned is prayer and fasting. We have to constantly pray, and not only pray, we have to fast in order to see not what's in front of you, but see what God sees.
Right.
And that's what we have to learn how to do, how to assist God in bringing the best out of our husbands.
Right.
And in
that's
our
good.
Assistance, we have to maintain the right posture and position in order for God to be able to use us, that he may be able to still receive. I've been in frustrating situations and times throughout my 20 plus years of marriage with my husband several times, but I learned that I have to take my eyes off of whatever it is that's going on at the time, and I have to put my eyes first back on God. Then I have to fast to put my flesh under subjection, you know.
Absolutely.
And then I'll be able to see and hear the voice of the Lord, and then the voice of the Lord will begin to tell me what to say at the right time that will cause the change to come about in my husband.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what you're saying is so profound, and ladies, I need you to really listen to this, because I know you're saying, well, oh, I didn't hear this before, and he's just not getting it, and it's getting on my nerves. If you're talking about having a successful marriage, if you're talking about having a kingdom marriage that God can be glorified, and you want to see your husband to reach his full potential, you have to have a prayer life, and you got to have a fasting life. And I love that what you said, Lady Gant, where you have to get past what you see in your husband and see what God sees. And so what do God see? So if you're married and you're saved, you already know what God said about marriage. So if you know what God said about marriage, that's what you see. That's what God sees. Then you the other part of this, what God sees for your marriage. Why do you think God brought you and your husband together, even though it's challenging it may be? But God had a specific reason why he brought you two together, so therefore he can get the glory outside of having children. Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
Another thing I like what you said, Lady Gant, is you want to assist. We should be in a place, in a position that we assist God in the development and the nurturing and the building of the man. Because I said this yesterday, we had family first yesterday, where our subject is about the family. And a lot of times we get so frustrated in the process. And the reason why this talk show has been developed, and I hate to go beside myself, but I have to say this part here right now. The reason why this talk show was developed, Lady Gant, is because to help the women understand, because just quick as women are getting married, they're getting divorced just that quick.
That's correct. Yes.
As soon as they get married, within 2, 5, 6 years, they're divorced. Because they did not, and then they saved. And so you got saved women getting married, getting frustrated, and not to say it's all your fault, because it does take two. But majority of the time, if you put yourself in a place, in a position, in the beginning of your marriage, before you get married, beginning of your marriage, and during your marriage, I guarantee your marriage will stand. Your marriage will last. But a lot of times we get the give up spirit. And then this day and time, and I know you experienced this, Lady Gant, being a first lady, being a pastor's wife, that a lot of the wives, they compare themselves to worldly wives. You know, they're taking on worldly customs, and they're trying to fix their marriage worldly, and it's not going to happen. Well, if I just give it to them, if I swing on a pole, if I do all this other kind of stuff, and I'm not getting into that tonight, but we're thinking we do all this fleshly stuff, this is what's going to keep my husband and make my husband satisfied and happy. That is not true.
No, it's not. Go
ahead.
Yeah, if I could say something right there, that is so powerful what you're saying, because even me, you know, myself, even being a leader and, you know, in leading the ladies at my own church here at Impact, you know, we minister to wives and minister to singles as well. But however, even with the wives, it's so much comparison, and they want to do so much, like you say, about like the world. But the world don't have the answers. The Bible has the answers for the wife. And and we have to constantly understand, in Proverbs it says, a wise woman buildeth her house up, and a foolish one plucks it down with her own hands. And us as wives have to understand that our conversation to our husband, you know, whether it's, especially when it's nagging, will cause a husband to turn away from us, a sense, because our conversation should be pure and holy and uplifting to the man. You know, it should not be so much of so nagging and so negatively in a daily life, in a daily conversation in the home. And we have to be so careful with our words and then how we carry ourselves, as you said. You know, look in the Bible, look in 2 Peter and understand, you know, the blueprint that God has given us for a marriage and how a marriage should work. Look in, you know, 2 Corinthians and look at how the marriage should be. You know, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. You know, we have to understand that it's not weak to be submissive.
Ooh, what you say? You better say
understand. We're not weak because we're being submissive. I learned a long time ago in my marriage, in the early part of my marriage, that submission has a whole lot of power.
Yes.
I learned that very early, and I learned that God showed me that. I mean, that scripture actually became life to me. Where he showed me that submission has a lot of power. It's not the, you know, you're the weaker vessel, but you're not weak. Because what you can do in prayer and fasting can change everything. It could change the atmosphere of your household. And we have to understand that we have to build the house up. You know, whether even if we have, you know, we have children in the home, we have to build the males in the home, you know, the male children as well. We have to build them.
Absolutely.
And it's no different when they become adults and they become our husbands. We have to still continuously to build them. We have to understand, I learned a long time ago that marriage is a ministry. And that's why you
what
see you so many, so many divorces, as you were stating earlier. That's why there's so many divorce, the divorce rate is so high in the church, because of, you know, they're comparing themselves to the world, but the world don't have the answers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the sad thing about it is the world have divorces. I mean, people that got money. There's some people think the money is the answer. Some people think certain things is the answer. If I do it like this, if I do all this kind of stuff, then you lose yourself in the midst of that because you're so busy trying to do it worldly. Because see, God, the world didn't come up with marriage. That's something that was instituted by God. That God came up with that. He said, let nothing come between a man and a wife. And so now the world has perverted marriage. They got, oh, that's a whole other subject all by itself. And so now when we talk about wives, I need you to catch this, wives. If you're going to have a healthy marriage, if you're going to have a marriage that's going to sustain and a kingdom marriage, you got to take on these principles, because if you don't take on these principles, it's not going to work. You'll find yourself finding temporary fixes, but it would never work. It would never last. And if it do last to a certain degree, guess what? It's going to be a fake marriage. And you don't want a fake marriage. You don't want a marriage that appears to be happy, but you're not happy. It appears that you're healthy, but you're not healthy, because you're both going through the mechanics. You don't want to go through a mechanic in marriage. Now, I will say this. I don't want to contradict what I just said. There is times in your marriage you got to keep going when you don't feel it. I think you just missed what I just said. Sometimes in marriage, you got to keep going when you don't feel it. You don't every morning you wake up in the morning just like you shave. Sometimes you don't feel like you shave in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, oh, my God, you don't feel like you shave all the time, but you know you shave. Sometimes you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to look at your husband, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, what did I do? Or, oh, my God, is this my husband? Or do I want to be married? There's going to be times you're going to feel that way. However, I'm married to this man. I made a commitment to him. I made a commitment, a covenant with God, went into a covenant with God for my marriage, and I'm not giving my marriage up. I'm not talking about, well, again, I'm going to say this before, as I said it before, I'm not talking to the wives that are dealing with domestic violence. I'm not talking to the wives that you got husbands or you got some incest going on in your home. I'm not talking to that. That's a whole other ball game. But I'm talking to the wives that you're getting frustrated because your husband don't know how to pay bills. They don't know how to save money. They got the little boy syndrome. I'm talking to the woman that your husband don't know how to talk to you, communicate with you, don't know how to love you the way you want to be loved or the way you feel that you need to be loved. I'm talking to the wife that you just feel like your husband is just a big baby. Oh, can I talk to you?
Oh, my,
baby. You know, the only thing he wants to do is jump in the bed, but outside the bed, he's irresponsible.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking to you later. I heard you. Oh, you talking to me. Yeah, I know I'm talking to you. But the thing is, what can you do? What can you contribute? Because keep in mind this, you married that man. You said, I do. And just like I said before, Lady Gant, God is not going to show you everything about that man. Just like that man, God did not show everything to the man about you. However, God will give you the tools, but you got to open your heart. You got to open your mind and receive. Thus said the Lord. And you got to get out of yourself. You got to say self. Self's going to say, Self got to move. Everything you may, you may be right of what you're saying, but you're saying it the wrong time. Or you're saying in the wrong approach. You're approaching the situation so bad, and so he's never going to receive anything you're saying because you sound like his mama. Or you sound like this nagging woman that just getting on his nerves. And you might say, well, that's not fair. What about me? I got an answer for that. So, Lady Gant, we're talking about, are you pulling the best out of your husband? And when you say the best out of your husband, what do the best look like? When we talk about the best out of your husband, what do that look like?
I think the best out of my husband is when he is able to stand with the surety and with all confidence in accomplishing the things and the goals that God has set for him. even in his own personal goals for himself. You know, it could be job-wise, it could be career-wise, but even spiritually in God. And and I think that that has everything to do with him being the best that he can be. And we have to understand that in reference to what you're saying, we have to get the vision that God has for the husband, not the vision that we see him through. We have to try not to look at him through our own eyes, because we see him one way, but God sees us another way. And until we're able to tap in and get the vision that God has given given the man, or given the destiny and the purpose for his life, then until you're able to grasp that, it'll be so, it's like rubbing, you know, so much, you know, friction. It's like he's speaking French and you speaking Spanish.
Right. Absolutely.
And so we have to get into the get into the right way and get into the right vision to be able to stand by him and push him to where he needs to be and where God has called them to be.
Absolutely. And which is a good husband, which is a good father, because you got a lot of wives, you're saying, well, he don't communicate with the kids, or, and a lot of times we're dealing with a lot of blended families. Let's be real. We're dealing with a lot of blended families, and now so you're not only trying to merge two people that don't really know each other, and you may say, I've been knowing him for 5-10 years, but you didn't know him in this way as a husband. It's a totally different thing, baby, whole totally different thing. You can't compare when you're just shacking with him. You can't compare when you're just dating him for 10 years, and now you're married, because it takes on a husband, it takes another format. And I don't, a lot of women say, well, I've been knowing him all my life and I never knew this. Baby, that's a whole other ballgame when you get married. That's a whole other ballgame. So I said that to say this. Lady Gant. So when you're talking about two individuals with two different backgrounds come up two different ways, coming together, merging together, and then you have children, oh my God, that's a whole other ballgame. So with that said, is you have to seek God. Wives, I need to get you, if I can't get anything to you, I hope I get this to you. You're going to have to be spiritual for this journey.
Yes.
You have to, take on a spiritual mind with this journey. You're not, you're not going to be fleshly on this journey. I don't care who you have talked to. I don't care what marriage you see that seems like it's working. At the end of the day, it's going to crumble. You know why? Because God is not the focus. Christ is not the center. Because if God is the one institution, marriage, brought marriage together, who ordained marriage, how can the world be successful in the very thing that God created? I'm talking the world. And then they're honoring him. They're not, he is not the focus in their marriage. So, yes, you see women, you see men that's married and been married for 50, 60 years, but I guarantee you, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know what success. I have seen marriage. I promise you, Lady Gant, I have met Caucasian, African-American, Indian, all kinds of people that's been married for a long time. And when you look on the outside, they look so happy. But somehow I would get behind the scenes, because special pastors, I have, you know, because of the work I do and because of what I have done in the community and things like that, I get very close with pastors. And it'd be amazed the behind the closed doors what their marriage looked like. I'd be like, wow. You don't see that in front, which I'm not saying that pastors or anybody else don't have difficulties or challenges in their marriage, but how they communicate with each other. And the very thing that we're telling our people to do, we're not doing. And so we, me and my husband, we declared when early up in our marriage that we won't be a TV marriage. We would not be a magazine marriage where it looks good, but it's not good, because eventually it's going to come out. What's in you is eventually going to come out of you. So you want to make sure it's going to come out. So when we're talking about what pulling out the best of your husband looks like, this is what it looks like to me. Just like Lady Gant stated, you're pulling out, you're helping God, insisting him and bringing the qualities that God has placed in him, but he has not been able to tap into that because of whatever the issues are. As he had not been developed, he didn't have a father to show him what a man is supposed to be, how that's supposed to look. So as a wife, I'm going to pull out the best quality of my husband and not the negativity of my husband. So for me to pull the best out of him, that means I got to walk in my best. Oh, you just missed that.
Yes.
Just missed it.
Yes.
For me to pull the best out of my husband, meaning I got to walk in my best.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do have a conversation and it's not going well, I don't have to have the last word. I not to close my mouth. Because I'm trying to pull the best out of my husband. When we're going through a situation and it's his decision, but I think it should be done this way, but I see that he's getting defensive, I know how to shift that. I can take these walls down of defense down because I need to bring the best out of him, so I got to walk in my best. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's coming to me with an issue about what he's seeing me. Instead of me get offensive because I feel like I have a reason, I have a reason to be defensive about what he's saying to me, I choose to say, you know what, honey, I did not see that, but let me work on that. Instead of saying, I don't know what you're talking about. You ain't saying that about when you did it. Because if I'm trying to pull the best out of him, I got to walk in my best. You're saying, well, Pastor Teresa, what about us? You know, what about them? I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you.
Right.
And if I was talking to them, it'd probably be a whole other situation. But when you're talking about you're pulling the best out of your husband, you don't focus on him and all what he's doing wrong. You're saying, God, I want to be this vessel. I want to be the vessel that you can use to pull the best out of my husband. Yes, I see that, but that's not what I'm going to go after. I'm going to go after the best. Because if I strengthen his weakness, if I strengthen his weakness, he will become strong. And so that's what the best looks like. So you're saying, well, Pastor Teresa, and we're going to go into our discussion points. What happens? What happens when there has been too much damage to see the best? Lady Swenson, what happens? Lady Gant, what happens when there has been so much damage in my marriage, so much negative things been said, so many things that he have done, so many wrong things he have done, it been so much damage in my marriage, I don't even see the best. What happens?
I think what happens, first of all, if it's very, very damaging, and I mean very, very damaging to the point that you're ready to give up on the marriage as a whole, I think the first thing you should do is seek some very good godly counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I think after you receive the godly counseling, during that process, you should be praying as the wife and fasting. Also, if the husband is in a position to do that, that would be great that the both of you all pray and fast and set times that you want to do these things in order to believe God for the restoration of the marriage.
Right.
Damaging things that happens in the heart. And that's when it gets to the point that the heart begins to turn from a heart of flesh to a heart of stone. And when your heart gets to the heart of stone, then you need God to come in and change it to a heart of flesh. And the only way that can get done is that you have to pray, you have to fast. Now, mind you, sometimes the husband is not there yet. The husband is not, you know, to the point of even, you know, believing God to that point. Or maybe you're standing alone, and even if you're the wife and you have to stand alone, you know, you have to understand, as I stated earlier, marriage is a ministry. And in your ministry for your marriage, you have to fight for your marriage. The enemy is not going to let you just have everything, peaches and cream and flowers and everything. You have to fight for your marriage. And the way you fight for your marriage is spiritually. It's not naturally. So, you know, as you were saying earlier, Lady Burton, you don't fight your marriage with your mouth in a negative.
Yeah.
You fight the marriage, and you fight the enemy you put him out of your marriage, you know, with your mouth, but you do it in a positive way, and you call those things that be not as though they were. You don't see him acting. You may not see him being the father that you want him to be to the kids. You may not see him being the husband, and he may not be doing the things that you want him to be to you. But however, you got to keep calling those things that be not as though they were. You got to call it into existence, and when you call it, you got to believe it. Most of all, I've come into contact with wives that know what the word is, but they don't believe the word.
Absolutely.
And so
yes.
We got to get to the point, we got to believe this thing. We got to really, really, truly believe it, because until you believe it really down in your heart and your spirit, you're not going to see a change, because
mm-hmm.
you don't have this thing wholeheartedly in you yet. You just, on the surface, you say that's what you want, but you don't really have that burning on the inside that I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight no matter what. I ain't going to give up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right.
And so
right.
I think
you're
that the damaging
right.
part, you know, of a marriage, you know, if you get some godly counseling, if you pray and if you fast and if you believe God wholeheartedly and put your faith all the way into God and take your eyes
mm-hmm.
off the damage and then ask the Lord to come into your heart and deal with your heart. You know, the
right.
deep down crevices, damaging things, you know, they're compacted all down in the deep crevices in the back part of your heart. And we
mm-hmm,
have to learn
mm-hmm,
how to
mm-hmm.
deal with that. I tell the women that I minister all the time, you got to put that heart on the altar.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes,
because
yes.
without that
yes.
heart getting put on the altar, God can't deal with you. Then God can't come
Absolutely.
In and make a change. We're talking about restoring you. You got to get restored. Then God got to come in and restore the husband. Then he got to restore the household as a whole and bring that thing back together. You know, you said something earlier about these families that have merged together
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you got outside kids and things of that sort, and I'm a candidate from that as well. But being
mm-hmm.
my husband, and I was in prayer about that thing, you know, in the early part of our marriage, you know, when we got married, he had kids, I had kids, and that, you know, it became a merged family. But as you were saying earlier, you know, even that area in the marriage caused so much damage in the heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the
absolutely.
Wife,
it
and
does.
In the heart
mm-hmm.
of the husband.
Mm-hmm,
it's a lot mm-hmm. of baggage come with that.
Yeah, a
and
lot
it
of
damages
it. Damages
the
of
heart
it.
Bad. And I was
yeah.
one of those, I was one of these wives.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
same
yeah.
question. And I went to God. I was, you know, I was early in as a babe in Christ, and I went to God in prayer, and I said, God, you're going to have to give me the answer to this, because this hurts too much.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what
it
I
can
said.
Be very
it hurts
painful.
Too much, and it did.
It can be
it
very
hurt
painful.
Too much.
It can be very painful. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It can be very
and
painful.
So God
but
gave
you,
me
it,
the answer to that. He gave me the answer. He said, "Here's what
mm-hmm.
I want you to do." He said,
yeah.
"I don't want you to see them like they're not your children."
Yeah.
He said, "You
yeah.
got to be
yeah.
a mother to them, and you got to treat those daughters and those sons just like they're yours, just like
yeah.
yours." And
absolutely.
He gave me a very good nugget. He gave me, and I got up off my knees, and I lived by it, and I implemented it, and God turned it and merged our family to now, you know, as they grew up, you know, the Lord told me to treat them like this, and I began to do that, and I began to love them and see past what was present. We got to
yeah.
learn how to see past what is present. And that's what
mm-hmm.
the Lord told me. You got to see, you got to love them like they're yours. And God merged our family so my daughters and my sons, you can't even tell that they're not from me and my husband. The Lord
yeah.
came in and merged us as a family. So they're all grown now and married and have their own kids. But I tell you, as they grew up through school and high school and junior high school, nobody knew that they wasn't, that me and my husband wasn't the mother and the father. Nobody
yeah,
knew until
yeah.
we told them.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
when you allow God to come in. And God developed that love within them. right now today. If one of them call one another, they're there. If somebody got to be, if somebody at the hospital, every one of my daughters, when they got ready to have their kids, each one of them was at the hospital with each other. They beat me to the hospital.
Amen.
They were there.
Amen. Awesome.
They were there one another.
Amen.
They had the whole plan and how they wanted it to go. So I tell
you know what, Lady, you know what, Lady Gant, what's so positive and what's so powerful about that is it started with you and your husband. It started with you and your husband. You guys had to come together. And then on top of that, you went into prayer. And I need y'all ladies to hear this part. For God to come in to do what he needs to do and heal the land, he had to use an individual first. He got to start with an individual. Why can't be cheap for you? One of the things I love what you said, that you got to lay your heart on the altar. In other words, how did that look? You got to lay yourself on the altar. You got to say, God, I'm giving you me. I want to be. You got to want to be a vessel. You got to ask, do you want to be a vessel? I know you thought you came into a marriage, it's going to be like this and peaches and cream and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, I thought he had himself together and I thought it would be a little bit better than what it is. It is better. It just the better ain't showed up yet. It is better, but the better haven't showed up yet. Everybody wants this marriage that's so boo, but you understand, it takes going through trials and tribulation. It takes going through challenge to get to that. A lot of people look at me and my husband, how me and him close, and that's my best friend, and he loves me, and he's my protector, and all that kind of stuff. But that came with us submitting ourselves to God.
Yeah.
When my husband wasn't there, he was not in a position that he can hold me up. When he was not in a position that he can actually lead the family in the way it's to go, instead of me downing him about what he was not able to do, I went in prayer about what he was not able to do, and I congratulate him and I celebrate him in what he could do. Oh, you just missed that.
Yeah.
So instead of going to him about what he could not do, I went to God about what he could not do. But I went to him about what he did do, and I celebrated him. And
that's
some of you wives need to celebrate your husband, what they're able to do, and stop concentrating on the things he cannot do and what he got his limitations in. Because, see, the limitation you take to God, but what he able to do, you take to him and say, babe, you doing a doggone thing. Good. You good. I would love it. Oh, you're awesome. So when you celebrate him, it gives him the backbone. See, he never been celebrated.
Right.
He's never been encouraged in a way, and there's a reason why. I said this yesterday, Lady Gant. I told the lady, I said, God gave us to the man, not the man to us. He pulled
us
from his rib.
That's correct.
He pulled us from his rib. He didn't pull man for our rib. So who is for who? We are for the man. The Bible said we're his helpmeet.
Right.
And he said, and then he told both of us. He didn't tell the man. He told both of us to have dominion over the earth. You hear what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, understanding what type of man do you have, you got to know what he did not get as a child. You got to know that his father wasn't there to nurture him, or, you know, he had an overtasked mama. You know, we deal with a lot of that, too. We have overtasked mamas, some of these mamas that did not do a good job with these men when they was children, and then some of them did not have a man in their life, so they like to know what a man looks like. To know what that looks like, because a woman cannot show a man what a man looks like.
No.
The only thing they're able to see is what a female looks like, but when you talk about be a man, well, what did that man look like? Because you sure can't show me. You can't show me how a man look like. So now they grow up, and then we want them to be a man. The sad part is they don't know what a man look like. So with that being said, we got to go. Let's go back to the discussion point. What happens when there's too much damage to seek the best? Lady Gant, you said it best. You got to go into prayer. You got to go in fasting. And sometimes you got to get outside help and say, hey, you know, I can't get past this thing. This damage has really took my heart for a loop. How do I get past this? How do I get past
this? And in that, and in that, God will give you the answer. If you pray and fast, God will give you the answer. He'll tell you how to get past it. He'll fix your heart. And we have to understand that we can't fix ourselves. You know, I think I've come to understand that, as you were saying earlier, you see marriages look one way on the outside, and then they're actually behind closed doors, they're another way. And, you know, God gave me a name for that. He called it a marriage that is swollen. It's swollen. It looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it's bleeding like a swollen heart. And it's swollen.
Wow.
And in that, we have to, and I see a lot of that in the church.
Yeah.
A lot of that in the church because we wear these masks. And the masks are one way, but when you get home, you take the mask off. And so we have to understand that when you come to God, you got to take the mask off.
Yeah.
The mask has to come off because God, the Bible says God judges the reins of a man's heart. So when you come to God, you're not fooling him anyway.
Absolutely.
Because he's not
looking
at what's before him. He's looking, he's reading your heart.
Yeah.
And he knows whether that heart is damaged or whether it's in process of trying to be repaired or whether you're seeking something else but you're portraying something else.
Absolutely. You just took the match. You just said it. You just said it. Because he knows, because there's, like I told you, remember what I said a little bit earlier. There are going to be some times that you got to keep going when you don't feel it. But in you keep going and you don't feel it, your heart should be right. Your heart should be in a position to say, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with my husband. I don't know what's going on with him and I, but I know you got it, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep being that wife. I'm going to keep being that supporter. I'm going to keep being his cheerleader. I'm going to keep being the wife that I need to be and the mother I need to be, and I'm going to sit here until the change comes. But versus, you know, in my heart, you know, well, I don't know what's going on with him. He's so stupid. He's so dumb. I just do not understand why did I marry him. And but you got an evil heart. Your heart is not right in the situation. So let's go here. So the Bible says, I want you to really jot this out in James 1:5. It says, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask God that giveth all men liberty and unbridled. And he said, he shall give it to you. So in other words, when you're talking about what happens when it's too much damage, you got to go get wisdom from God. You have to get wisdom. I'm a living witness. When me and my husband went through some real hard situations, some real hard situation with baby mama, baby daddy, my ex-husband. Then when my daughter went through some trouble and went through some issues, it was a very hard thing. I mean, some hard things has been said to each other. We never got to the place we yell and scream at each other because we never cuss at each other. So that's something I never experienced with my husband. But there are some harmful things that we have said to each other. Or a lot of, with me, I was very sarcastic. I would make you feel bad. And never cuss you out. I can make you feel bad. I make you feel like a little boy, and you'll know I'm making you feel like a little boy because I did it on intentional. I did it on purpose. So I remember, but during that time when we was going through those seasons, I never forgot. I said, Lord, I don't want to, because I already been married once. I've been married once already. I already have two children that have two different last names, don't share the same father, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, I'm here. I am in my mind contemplating on divorce. I said, you know, I don't want to be married no more. I mean, this is too hard. And he said, you never gave it to me. You want it to be easy.
Mm.
How do you think marriage works? It doesn't work because nothing happens. It works because when something happens, two people come together and say, hey, we in this thing together. And so I never forget, I got to a place where I was just like a zombie. I was like, you know, this is not going to work. But I did not say to nobody else. I went before myself. I just went. There's a park that I normally, there's two parks I go to because I love to go where water is. I love to go sit in water, and I just talk to God and just, you know, throw all my cares upon the water. And this particular day, I went to the park, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And I heard God say, he said, do you trust me? I mean, that's not the question of the day. This is not the question of the day, God. I'm talking to you. You want to come and ask me, do I trust you? Yes, I trust you. He said, if you trust me, trust my pattern. All right, trust your pattern. And then he told me to go to the Word of God. He said, go to my Word, and you will see my pattern. Trust that. Don't trust your feelings. Trust my pattern.
Yeah.
Pattern your marriage. Pattern your womanhood. Pattern your motherhood. Pattern your wifehood. After what I wrote, and then you will see change.
Yeah.
And he said, and don't do it to see change. Do it because it's right to do. I want to talk to that wife that you're doing stuff because you want to see change, versus you're doing it because it's right to do. You're not a wife, a good wife, because you're trying to get a good man or trying to make him a good husband. You should be a good wife because it's right to do. If you're doing stuff to get results, but you're not doing it because the word says it and your desire to be pleasing to God, you're desiring to be all what God wants you to do, you're not going to see change. And when you do see change, it's going to be a temporary change. I'm a living witness. When I started seeking God's face, not because I was trying to change my husband, not because I was trying to change my daughter, because I want to be who God created me to be. And when I start submitting to that and I embraced it, that's when I saw change.
Amen.
Only when I truly submit my mind, my heart, my thoughts, my ways, my will to God's will and say, God, I give it all to you. Whatever you do, I'm your vessel to do it with.
Hmm.
And the only thing I ask myself, God, give me the endurance. Just give me the endurance. And that's when he said, go to my word. And he said, I want you to find scriptures from one scripture, one verse after another, that empower you with the strength and the wisdom that you're going to need. And I promise you, after I kept doing this and I kept praying, I kept fasting, and I took my mind, my heart off the situation, that's when I saw change start happening. And I said, Lord, I thank you. I praise God and I worship God when I didn't even see change. I continue to worship him. I stopped going before him. I would leave. I was working at the time, a community director. I would leave work and I go straight to the park. I make sure nothing dampered and came between my worshiping with God. And some of you ladies out there, you're letting what you see in your husband tamper with your worship with God. That don't have nothing to do with your worship. That have nothing to do with it. You don't worship God because you need something. You worship God because he's God. You worship him because he's a true and one and only God. So as I stated in James 1 and 5, it says, as any man like wisdom, ask for him. If you like wisdom today, ask God for wisdom. He will give it to you. The other thing I want to mention to you, Matthew 11, 28 says this, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, meaning all your weights, all your concern, he said, and I will give you rest. But the part that we're missing is the Bible said, come unto me. Some of you are going to your friends, and you need to be coming to your God. Some of you are going to people first when you should be going to God about that. He said, you got to come to me with that heavy thing that's on your heart. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And see, the thing about it is we'll come to God, but when God don't fix it the way you want it to be fixed, the way you see it need to be fixed, you'll shut that door and say, you know what, this ain't working. And you'll come up with something else. I want to submit to you today, wives, if you ever want to pull the best out of your husband, you got to first be walking in your best. If you're going to pull the best out of your husband, you got to be walking in your best. That means you got to be walking in the God-given authority that God's given you as a wife to be the wife that you need to your husband. Your husband needs you. And I'm not saying, you may got a very challenging husband, a very needy husband, a husband that got all these little boy syndromes or all these other things that a man should not have. Unfortunately, he didn't get trained. He didn't get developed. He didn't get that nurturing that he needs to be who he needs to be today. But I submit to you, if you submit your life, your way, your will to God, God will give you the desire of your heart. But he said, I need your heart first. Did you hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
The next question, before we go to commercial, we got a commercial that's coming up, sis. The next thing that I want to go ahead and put it out there, the question for our discussion is how long does it take to see change in our marriage? We kind of answered that as we were talking, but I want you kind of like to drop some nuggets on that part. How long does it take to see change in my marriage?
Again, that's going to depend on the wife, and that has a lot to do with God, and it has a lot to do with you. You kind of orchestrate that as well in how fast you change as the wife. I want to say two things real quick here. The first thing that I noticed that we as wives take a long time to do is to put our mind on the altar. We don't put our mind on altar. I noticed you kept saying, Lady Burton, that you put your mind, your heart, and your spirit, and your soul when you went and you sought the face of the Lord. But we don't put our mind on the altar. So the first thing you're going to have to do in order to get that is to get our mind on the altar. Then once we get our mind on the altar, and God begin to make some changes, and you'll see some minor changes quickly, but not as fast as we would like them to be in reference to the question of how long does it take to see change in the marriage. Well, it takes as long as God wants it to be, because only God can change any of us. God has the master plan and how long it takes for us to get and reach the things of God and reach levels in Him. So God has the master plan for the change for your husband as well as the change, you know, in us. But it's about us submitting ourselves totally, you know, that we can move the hand of God. One thing about prayer, prayer changes things, but fasting makes God, make your voice be heard on high in heaven. So even in praying and fasting, if you couple that thing together with together both of them as a combo, then God will begin to move. Now, how fast the change going to take, how long it's going to take to see, you'll see minor things that are begin to change quick. But then the long haul stuff, the stuff that's going to take a little bit longer, you know, we have to, we stand on God's word, and we understand that just one word from God can change our life forever. Just one word from Him. And so we have to wait on God. And in our waiting, we can't get frustrated. We can't get impatient with waiting to see the change, because change don't come overnight. And so that's why you, as I stated earlier, you have to be in this thing, and you have to fight for your marriage spiritually. It ain't gonna come overnight, but change will come. So you got to stick in there, and, you know, I tell, you know, wives all the time, you know, you got to stick and stay. You got to stick and stay, and you got to be willing to stay there until the change comes. And God will decide when that change is going to take place. But as long as you are doing and staying in your position and doing what you're supposed to do, then God will begin continue to move. Just don't get frustrated. Don't kick the cat. Don't slap the dog. Hang in there and let God do it. Amen.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa.
Hey, it's your girl Tajay, and I'm 19.
Hey, this is your girl Sakisha, and I'm 21.
Hey, this is your girl Katara, and I'm 16.
Hey, y'all, this is Loren, and I'm 18.
Hey, y'all, this is Jalen, and I'm 15.
And we're your Dance Talk co-hosts!
And I personally like to invite you to join us every fourth Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we create dialogue amongst teen girls. Yes, teen girls and young ladies. We understand that different things that you young ladies face, and we have created a host of young ladies to come together and share their experience and outcomes in different situations that they have been in and actually overcame. We want you to meet us here, right here on Share Talk, and you can do that by calling 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. 60 minutes of live empowerment. Meet us here, right here on Share Talk.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you. You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.